The article, after it was announced that Ansar Beit al-Maqdis had joined the Islamic State, this is now a terrorist, Islamic terrorist group in the Sinai, has acknowledged its support of the Islamic State. America was announcing that it, in one of its bombing attacks in Syria and in western Iraq, may have killed some Islamic State leaders. This quote, "What's significant to me is that we hit a military convoy that we knew the Islamic State leadership was part of," said the CBS News contributor Mike Morrell. Well, Mike, I want to tell you something, pal. The Islamic State does not have military convoys. The Islamic State has mujahideen. It has jihadists. It has militants. You might even say the Islamic State has a militia. But a military where the men are in command and control regimes with ranks, uniforms, identification cards, boot camps, with a common grid of equipment. Yeah. You know, if we want to make it seem like, well, you know, the United States isn't bombing civilians and we're not bombing religion when we're engaged in whatever the hell we're calling this mission. You know, you want to spew that propaganda to make it look like our military is fighting another military? Go ahead. But the reality is that our military is dropping bombs on civilians who are religious. And those religious civilians operate as jihadists, as mujahideen, holy warriors, those who fight in Allah's cause. They don't have military convoys. Now they have some military equipment, none of which they've made, none of which they've ordered, none of which they have purchased, all of which they have stolen, confiscated. That does not make them a military. The Mike Morrell, who is the CBS News commentator and contributor, was formerly the number two at the CIA. I guess that's why he's so stupid. Obviously, if we got Baghdadi, that's a good thing. Why? Yeah, Baghdadi is an Islamic preacher. His studies are in Islam. He is a cleric. So obviously, if you got an Islamic cleric, that's a good thing. Okay. But what's really important here is that we found a leadership target and we went after it. Yeah, that's who we are. That's who we are. We go after it. That's why the 18th chapter of Yashaya, which begins woe, is so harsh in its exposure and condemnation of America. Yeah, America goes after it. We don't think. We don't analyze. We don't understand. We don't build anymore, but we're really good at going after it, which from the CIA's perspective is destroying. It's killing. We've gotten really good at going after it in the sense of destroying, in the sense of killing. And amazing here is that whatever military hardware may have been in this convoy was all made by Americans, supplied by America, and now decommissioned by America. This was a convoy that we struck that we knew was a leadership convoy. That takes very good intelligence, said Morrell. Yeah, if you were so intelligent, Morrell, then why did the Islamic State surprise you? Why did you support the awakening program that became the Islamic State? Why did you pretend that Al-Qaeda existed in Iraq prior to the American invasion. Why didn't you tell people, if you were so damn smart, Morrell, that the invasion of Iraq is what started the Syrian war? That there would be no proxy war in Syria of Sunnis killing Shia? Had America not invaded Iraq in the first place? If you're so damn smart, Morrell, why not tell the truth? That the American invasion of Iraq is what set all of this off. That the very man you wanted hunted down and killed, going after him, was Saddam Hussein, who was the best dictator in the entirety of the Muslim world. And that by killing him, we have unleashed all hell on the region. We have given Iraq to Iran. Surely you're intelligent enough, Mr. Morrell, to understand that. We've enabled Iran to complete their nuclear ambitions. You're smart enough to figure that out too, aren't you, Mr. Morrell? That we broke a country, we spilled blood and coin and made a very bad situation infinitely worse. And now we're engaged because of the mess that we have made, and we're trying to clean up our mess the same way we made the mess, going after it. When are you going to wake up, Mr. Morrell? When are you actually going to show some sign of intelligence and recognize that going after it is what caused this mess? It sure as hell isn't going to solve it. Boy, we are a nation of absolute numbskulls in the media, in the intelligence service, in the military, in politics. Those institutions are beyond hope because of the idiots like Mike Morrell. What a moron. Says the reason that these strikes are so important is that they force the leadership of a terrorist group to focus on their own security rather than conduct operations. The other is that if you remove the leaders over time, you get weaker leaders. And that is one of the key ways to downgrade a terrorist organization. So you're saying that Islam is incapable of producing more Muslims? Are you saying that having America bomb and kill Islamic heroes is going to make weaker heroes out of those the bombings inspire to rage? Are you saying that because Muhammad is dead, that the leaders of Islam and Abu Bakr, for example, that led the war of compulsion against all of Arabia, or Muhammad's other henchmen that when Bakr died, that led the great Islamic assault against Africa throughout the Middle East and into Europe, that they were somehow inferior because the previous Muslims had been killed? Have you no concept as to how a religion inspires people to rage? You know, when you kill the leadership of an organization that is religious in nature, they replace. They have no problem finding other leaders. Organization isn't downgraded. You know, the fact is that with the awakening program that Mr. Morrell was up to his eyeballs in when he was with the CIA, was comprised of thousands of high-ranking Sunni Iraqis. You could kill 20 of them. And, you know, there's still 980, maybe even twice that number, maybe three times that number, who were in the military of Saddam Hussein, who were in the government of Saddam Hussein, who were business people that ran the country economically for Saddam Hussein, that are available. And the more of them you kill, the madder you'll make the rest of them. Mr. Morrell obviously didn't learn the lessons of Vietnam, that as we went after them from the air and dropped napalm, dropped Agent Orange, dropped incendiary bombs, as we roasted the Vietnamese to death, as we used our chemical weapons against them, that we manufactured hundreds of Viet Cong for everyone we killed. It is the math of war, particularly war where the enemy doesn't wear a uniform, when the war is fought by a religion that you're unwilling to acknowledge, when your bombs hit civilians, as is the case here. The math is you don't make the organization weaker when you attack its leadership, you make it stronger. Ever since the United States has been bombing the Islamic State, it has grown in territory. It has grown in prestige. It has grown in numbers. It has grown in weaponry. It has grown in terms of its finances. That's the truth, Mike Morrell. Not that the truth will do you any good. Speaking of truth, this is Dateline Ibril, Iraq. It's going to focus on one young girl, but it's the story of thousands. Jana is this girl's name. She was a 19-year-old girl in her final year of high school with dreams of becoming a doctor. Then the Islamic State came to her village last August, and her world collapsed. She described in chilling detail how the Islamic State jihadists first demanded that members of her Yazidi religious minority convert to Islam. They were Zoroastrians. Then they stripped the villagers of their jewelry, their money, and their cell phones, because thievery is what Muslims do. Then they separated the men from the women. They would kill the males, and they would use the women for sex toys. Continue with the story of what the Islamic State is doing in Iraq. I'd be remiss if I didn't let our listeners know that Scott braved the great storm of 2014. It's supposed to be the worst blizzard and storm since 1991. Global cooling is alive and well, and across the United States, some 200 million people are supposed to be hit by this particular early fall storm. But and Minnesota is where the eye of the monster now lurks, with snow and winds up to 25 miles an hour.
And it's nowhere near that bad here right now.
Oh, the media says it's you are at the eye of the monster.
Yeah, I don't even think I saw a quarter inch of snow this morning, so you can still see the road in place.
We don't want the truth to get in the way of a good story.
Well, of course not. I mean, it's really bad up here. I'm going to need a raise.
Okay, I'm in favor of that. So this story is about what the Islamic State does to men and women. It's the exact same thing that Muhammad did. What happened with the Yazidis, the Zoroastrians, is exactly the same thing that Muhammad did to the Jewish communities in Yathrib, today's Medina. He first robbed them. That's what these Muslims did. Well, first, he took all of them and robbed them of their freedom so that he could control them. That's what these Muslims did. Then he robbed them. Then in the case of Muhammad, initially he enslaved the victims, but after a while, the slave markets were only good for young boys and young girls, so he enslaved young boys and young girls. That's what these Muslims did. Muhammad saw to it that all of the women, and he would define a woman as anyone over about 9 years old, were raped. Muhammad himself participating in the rapes. That's what these Muslims did. And then Muhammad had the boys over the age of puberty murdered, beheaded, their heads held up as great shouts of Allahu Akbar punctuated the marketplace. That's what the Islamic State did. You see, the Islamic State are just good Muslims. You know, Owen, when I tell our listeners that the United States is not just wasting its time, it's counterproductive in bombing and going to war with the Islamic State, a war against the Islamic State, that is not to infer that the Islamic State isn't worth killing. The world would be better off if every fundamentalist Muslim were dead. I've shed no tear for the deaths of fundamentalist Islamic Muslims. I wish they were all dead. But the fact of the matter is that in America, in Europe, non-Muslims are vastly better served by having the West isolate and quarantine Muslims and stop attacking them. You don't need to bomb them. What you need to do is stop selling weapons and providing weapons to Islamic countries like Iraq. Stop providing them with weapons. Sell no more American weapons to any Islamic country. Stop buying fuel from OPEC. A country is an OPEC member if they're majority Muslim. Don't buy fuel. Don't buy oil. If you buy the oil, you need to know that that money is going to be used to buy weapons, even if they're purchased indirectly, and to fund mosques which are going to manufacture jihadists. You need to isolate these countries. Don't invade Afghanistan. Don't invade Iraq. Don't have this pretense that we're going to stomp out the Islamic terrorists right there, and that way they won't be able to attack us. No, that's exactly the opposite of what occurs. Ignore them. Isolate them. Quarantine them. This is a horrible disease. But this notion that you're going to bomb the Islamic State and you're going to say that they're not Islamic, I mean, that's just brain dead. The problem is Islam. We need to address the problem. And the problem is horrific. It's not just what happened in Boko Haram in Nigeria with the killing of 49 young boys. The story is also what the Islamic State has done and is doing in Iraq and Syria. This is a murderous, degenerate religion. It needs to be isolated and quarantined. Incidentally, the United States released non-information, but that on its bombing last night in Syria. Last night here had been, I think, during the day there. And the United States says, we haven't got a clue what happened. But the Iraqis, which are not quite as dishonest as the Ukrainians. I mean, it's, everything that comes out of Kiev is untrue. I mean, at least with Kiev, they are so dishonest that you can get an accurate report by just inverting everything they say. That's mostly true in Iraq. But it's probably 80%. You know, it was funny. I watched a movie. Let me finish the thought that I'll tell about the movie. The Iraqis are saying that an aide to Ibrahim Abdul Bakr al-Baghdadi was killed. Oh boy, an aide. Wow. I mean, is it the guy that polishes his sandals? Is it the guy that cleans his robe? Is it the guy that wraps his turban? Is it the guy that de-louses his beard? I'm sure that killing an aide to Baghdadi, I mean, Mike Morrell is probably right now doing somersaults in his office, probably trying to schedule lunch with the uppity-ups of the CIA to revel in the glory of having killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi's beard lice removal associate. Big whoop. Anyway, I was speaking of dishonesty. I was went out, saw two movies over the weekend. The first was Fury, which is a depiction of a tank crew in World War II in Germany in the last days of World War II. To its credit, it showed war for what it is, which is it's criminal, belligerent, degenerate, inhuman. It showed war for what war is. It's about destruction and killing, and there's no sense to it. No morality to it, no sense to it. And it showed both sides brainwashed to a fault. And for that, it was worth seeing. And, of course, the Americans were reading Bible verses and pretending that God was on their side as they were conducting all manner of disgusting things. The second movie I saw was Interstellar, the one that reminded me of this particular story of no one being able to tell the truth. There's an interesting robot in Interstellar, which on a 1 to 10 scale of movies is probably a 9. It's worth seeing. It's a good human story of parenting is really what the story is all about. It's about a father's relationship, particularly with his daughter. And in that regard, it's an interesting story. And it's an interesting story, too, for those who have read Yada Yada know that the opening volume of Yada Yada focuses on creation told from a relativistic perspective, from the perspective of the creator at creation, and therefore uses relativity to demonstrate that the heavens and earth were in fact created in 6 24-hour earth days from the perspective of the witness telling the story, which is between 14 and 15 billion years from our time looking backwards. So for those whose friends have seen Interstellar and understand now some aspect of relativity, the Hiya volume of YadaYa.com would be a wonderful read, far more accurate and revealing than any of the science in the movie. But there's a robot in the movie Interstellar that has a humor setting and a truth setting. And when asked, the robot, how honest are you going to be? The robot says, my honesty setting is at, I think it was 90%. And said, 90%? So there'll be some of the time that which you'll tell me you know not to be true. And he says, with humans, you don't want to be honest all the time. They can't handle it. Bad things happen. And, the honesty setting for the Kiev regime in Ukraine is zero. And for the Iraqi regime that America imposed on that country, it's at 90%. The honesty setting for the Obama-nator is between the two at about 5%. 5% honesty setting. I'd put the rest of politicians, the media, the intelligence community, all somewhere between 0 and 10% honesty setting. And it's so it's funny, if you watch the movie, you'll recognize that it is a human institution that would create a robot in their image with a honesty setting. Returning to the story, Jana was 19 years old when the Islamic State came into the village where the Yazidis, the Zoroastrians, lived. The first thing they did is order them to convert to Islam. Now, imagine you're a non-Muslim, and fundamentalist Muslims come into your town with guns and all manner of weapons. They've acted like terrorists. They're savages. They're just disgusting. disgusting individuals. And they tell you that to live, you need to convert to the same religion that has caused them to be savages, to cause them to be murderous, to cause them to be grotesquely immoral. What's your response going to be? Oh, yeah, right. Sign me up for that. I mean, you guys are just swell. Then they robbed everyone in the community of all of their property. Then they separated the men from the women. Then they murdered all of the males older than 10 years old. They took them to a local schoolyard outside the village in pickup trucks, and they murdered them. They shot them in the head, one after another. Every man and boy over puberty, just like Muhammad. I mean, what they did is identical to what Muhammad did in Yathrib, today's Medina, where every boy over the age of puberty was murdered by the first Muslims. Then the boys under the age of 10 and all of the women were enslaved as sex slaves to be raped, which is exactly what Muhammad did. The boys were sent off as slaves to be auctioned to the highest bidder, which is exactly what Muhammad did. This is precisely what the Quran and Hadith describe. When the ignoramus that is the president of the United States says the Islamic State is not Islamic, when they are emulating Muhammad's deeds, precisely, when they are following precisely what the Quran says happened amongst the first Muslims in Yathrib, today's Medina, you have to be a total nincompoop to disassociate the Islamic State and their heinous behavior from Islam when it is exactly what Muhammad did. Among those that were murdered by the Islamic State were Jana's father and her eldest brother. A different fate, of course, lay in store for the women. Jana describes how girls like herself were separated from older women because the older women, they were going to be used to perform chores, but they would not be used as sex slaves. The younger women would be. Pedophilia is alive and well, of course, in Islam because Muhammad was a pedophile. They were put in a big three-story house with hundreds of other young women, little girls mostly. And the men of the Islamic State came periodically, and they chose up to three or four of the girls at a time to take them with them as sex slaves. He says, "We women were treated like cattle." That's exactly what Muhammad told the Muslims, that women are like domesticated animals, just like cattle. We were subjected to physical and sexual abuse. We were tortured. We were raped. This was nothing other than sex slavery. We were exposed naked in the markets of Mosul and Raqqa. We had price tags around our necks as we stood in front of screaming Muslims, stripped naked. This is Islam. This is why Islam needs to be exposed, why Islam needs to be condemned, why Islam needs to be isolated and quarantined. It's repulsive that those in the media, those in government, those in the intelligence institutions, those in the military are unwilling, unable to do what needs to be done, what is informed, what is rational, what is wise, what is compassionate, what is moral, which is to expose and to condemn Islam and then to isolate it, criminalizing it. This behavior is criminal. It's motivated by Islam. When a doctrine motivates criminal behavior like rape, like slavery, like mass murder, like mass thievery, all of which were perpetrated on these people in the name of the Islamic religion, then the religion is criminal. It is that simple. It is that black and white. It's that easy to understand. Now, just as I asked you, with your eyes wide open, with your mind open, to look at the carnage of the bodies that were mutilated, 76 mutilated and struggling for life, 49 mutilated unto death by a Muslim suicide bomber in Nigeria entering a classroom. I want you now to gaze upon the scene of thousands of little girls stripped naked, bound, a price tag around their neck, as Islamic savages bid for them so they can rape them. Put yourself in the scene. Put yourself in those marketplaces. Look what's being said. Hear the screams of Allahu Akbar. And if you can do that, then you're prepared to expose and condemn the most deadly, the most destructive, the most demonic religion ever conceived by mankind. A researcher for a United Kingdom-based University of Bristol Gender and Violence Center. So in the UK, there is something that you won't find in an Islamic country. A gender and violence research center. According to their research, at least 2,500 Yazidi women were kidnapped by the Islamic State and turned into sex slaves. 2,500. Now, Boko Haram is just a gnat on a camel's behind compared to these boys. And what did they kidnap 250 girls from a school there to turn them into sex slaves? 2,500. Think of a religion that cruel, that the religious leaders, the political leaders, the militant leaders of the religion, authorizing the enslavement of 2,500 little girls, turning those little girls into sex slaves to satiate the carnal desires of your most ardent followers. When you can imagine a religion that depraved, that demonic, that despicable, then you're coming to understand the nature of Islam. 2,500. And that's a low estimate. Nareen Nishamo, a Yazidi activist based in Iraqi Kurdistan, has compiled the names of over 4,600 Yazidi girls that are currently missing. 4,600. Can you hear them scream? Can you see their faces? Can you feel their tears? Turned into sex slaves by religious zealots. Raped every single day. When you can look into their eyes, when you can hear their screams, when you can feel their tears, then you will understand the truth about Islam. Don't look away. In the first month after the mass abductions, Shamo says that she was receiving calls and messages from up to 70 different hostages every day. Now, she can't reach a single one of them. After more than a decade reporting on the conflict in the Middle East, this journalist says, I was still ill-prepared to hear about the scale of this kidnapping and the modern-day enslavement. Enslavement. It's central to Islam. Islam would not exist without the slave trade. It is how Muhammad raised money to mount his terrorist assault on Arabia. Without the enslavement of little girls that he and his henchmen could rape, without the enslavement of little boys that they could sell to finance the acquisition of weapons, Islam would not exist today. And yet this journalist was ill-prepared. Why? Because this journalist, even in hearing this story, can't face it. Can't look it in the eye. Why is it that the media won't play the beheading videos? They won't air them. They don't want you to hear the screams. They don't want you to look into the face of the victims of Islam. They're afraid that you might understand. They're afraid that you might care. I want you to care. Islam is the most despicable, the most demonic, the most deadly, the most destructive, the most deceitful doctrine ever conceived by humankind. It needs to be exposed. It needs to be condemned. It needs to be eradicated. It needs to be quarantined and isolated. Stop bombing it. Stop supporting it. Stop arming it. Stop enriching it. Stop tolerating it. Stop supporting it. Isolate it. Criminalize it. Condemn it. If you're incapable of doing these things, you're not compassionate. You're stupid. You're not wise. You're a moron. You're encouraging more victimization if you're unwilling to stand up against this evil.